When the Apostle Paul was in prison, he wrote a letter to a dear and beloved brother named Philemon. He said to him, "I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have to the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." I'm not in prison, but I certainly share Paul's views. I thank God for those who demonstrate their love and their faith in Christ and their love for the saints by being here this morning, by being here in Bible class, to encourage Matt, to encourage one another, to share together in the study of God's Word, and now to worship together and to study together again God's Holy Word, to help ensure our salvation. So accept my gratitude. I thank God and I thank you for being here. I want to encourage us all to think about the love for our Lord and for His people and how that would impact our efforts to be here this evening at 5 o'clock. Such a little thing on our part, but such a great thing in the benefit we can derive, and it's a way to express openly our love for Christ and for His people. But our lesson is not about that this morning. We want to turn our attention to our study for today. You know, bad things happen in people's lives. People do not anticipate the fact that they may get some kind of illness or disease that may incapacitate them to some degree, in body or in mind. And that illness may not be their own personal illness. It may impact a loved one. Accidents happen. They happen suddenly and unexpectedly. And because of accidents, people lose a loved one. Or again, they lose their health. People try to make good financial decisions for their future and maybe put money into investments. Due to things beyond their control, their investments are lost. There are people who have done that and reached the age of retirement, and it's all gone. Sometimes when you try to live right, instead of good things happening, bad things happen. Because people mistreat you, and they don't appreciate you, and they say bad things about you and misuse you. That's the facts of life. That's what happens. Now the question is how does it impact us? How do we react to that? One potential reaction would be to start raising questions. Why does this happen to me? If there's a God of love and power in heaven, why am I suffering this illness or the loss of a loved one or these other reverses in my life? And if they continue, people can get discouraged. They may handle it for a while and finally say, "I just can't handle it anymore." And it may lead to complete despair, and they may give up. And their discouragement and despair and doubt may turn to bitterness. And actually have a bad attitude toward God as well as to one's fellow man. Our study this morning is to help us refocus and to see another side of the picture. There's nothing I can do to change the fact that bad things happen or have happened maybe in your life. But there is another perspective that we can have that may help us with the bad things that we have experienced or may experience in the future. And we want to spend a few minutes this morning talking about that. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 2, but let me remind you of the readers. These particular readers considered themselves religious. Look at verse 26 of chapter 1. He said, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, and they did. These particular readers were proud of their faith in Christ. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. So they were believers in Christ. More than that, chapter 3 is dedicated to the subject of teaching. And teachers have to have knowledge, and these people evidently had knowledge to be teachers. Verse 13, he said, who among you is a wise and understanding? And he addressed some attitudes that teachers ought to have in chapter 3. So here are people who are religious, believers, capable of teaching the Word of God. But there's something lacking in their character. And that's why we're reading these few verses at the beginning of chapter 1. Start in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, your version may say temptations. The word can go either way. The idea of trials, things that put you to the test. Why would you rejoice when you're tested? Because it can build your character. Keep reading. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result. We said that we want to consider this morning that bad things can have good results. Isn't that exactly what he's saying? That the trials they experience can have the good result of building endurance in their character. These readers needed that. Notice he says, let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Perfect and complete. But we're religious. We believe. We're knowledgeable. Yeah, but there's something lacking. How am I going to fill the gap in my character? Well, one of the ways that it can happen, according to this text, is by experiencing some trials. Some things I may not want to experience and that may not be pleasant, but it can help perfect my character if it's lacking endurance in the face of trials. Look at Romans chapter 5. These first two verses that I'm reading, I believe, establish the premise from which we're working this morning. And that is, bad things can have some good results. It may not, depending on how we react to them, depending on our faith and knowledge, and thus our lesson, but they can have. Look in Romans chapter 5, if you will, beginning in verse 3. Not only this, we exult in our tribulations. James' letter said that they were to rejoice in their trials. Here he said, we rejoice in our tribulations. Different words, same idea. Now, why do you rejoice in your tribulations? Knowing that it helps to build character. Oh, your version doesn't say that, does it? But that's the idea. Read it with me. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Isn't perseverance a character trait? And perseverance, proven character. Say, well, I've got a good character. Wait, let's put it to the test and see what kind of faith you have. How deep your hope is. how much you really love God. Endurance can lead to a proven character, he said. And proven character, if you stand the trials and the tribulations and you come through them, hope. Hope is so vital. And this is a hope that will not disappoint. He said, verse 5, hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. That is, through the revelation that God has given by His Holy Spirit, we don't have to doubt the love of God when tribulations happen. Instead, if we will endure those tribulations and prove our character, we know, as we sang a while ago, just a moment ago, there's a rainbow in the cloud, guaranteed by the promises of Almighty God. And so these bad things can produce some good results. Now, in the two texts we read the word trials and tribulations. That's generic, isn't it? What kind of trials? What kind of tribulations? The words are broad enough to cover the field. I want in the next few minutes to talk about some specific trials and tribulations and how they can impact character. Paul was in prison when he wrote to Philemon, but his heart was refreshed as he thought about Philemon and his faith and his love. When he wrote the Romans, he said, I look forward to being with you, to be encouraged by being with you. But he couldn't. Month after month went by. 2 years passed. He could not be with the saints. He was not in prison because of a bad choice. Sometimes men are in prison because of bad choices. But even then, there can be some good results. But what we find is that Paul, while he was in prison, was isolated from his brethren. He wrote letters. He received communication from them. Occasionally he would have a brother visit him. But he couldn't do what you're doing this morning. He couldn't awake on the first day of the week, rejoicing in the resurrection of Christ and looking forward to gathering with other believers and sing psalms of praise. He didn't have that privilege. We have a brother who's in that boat. Brother Brandon Fonce is in prison. Personally, I don't think he deserves to be there. It's a bad thing. He's isolated from his family. He's isolated from his brethren. But can it turn out to be a good thing? Can anything good come of it? Go back to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Another prison letter. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. That's written by Paul. But I'll tell you what, those words fit our brother Brandon Fonce. When he thinks about you, he thanks God for you and longs to be with you. That longing to be with brethren has been enhanced by the bad thing that he's experiencing. I thank my God in my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. You have a man praying for you. Because of the bad thing that's happened to him. I don't know about Brandon's prayers before he went to prison. Maybe he did it then. But I know he does it now, if I can depend upon what he says. And he says, I pray for you. And I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of grace with me. So here's Brandon in prison. He enjoyed his family before he went to prison. But I'll tell you what, he'll really enjoy his family when he gets out of prison. That being taken away can cause a person to appreciate life's blessings. We're here this morning. We say, well, I got to get up and go to church. What if there was war? What if another government took over and you couldn't come to church? What if you were incapacitated and you couldn't be with the brethren? You might have a greater appreciation for what you're enjoying right now. And so bad things can cause us to do what we sing about. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And sometimes we don't do that until bad things happen. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. I rejoiced in the Lord. Why, Paul? Because I know of your love for me. We're not together, but I know you care about me. I know you're thinking about me. He goes on to point out that they wanted to help him previously but weren't able, but now they can. And it's not the funds he received as much as the heart behind it, the attitude, the love, the grace that was shown toward him. When you are in prison, like our brother Fonts is, and he goes to the mail room in the evening and he gets letters from you, he rejoices in the Lord. Some of you make trips on the weekends to sit at a chair with a glass in between you and talk to him on a telephone. Make that trip up to Huntsville and sit there for a couple hours. And your concern helps him to appreciate more than ever the love of brethren. You may send him literature to help him or other things. You may help his family. But I'll tell you, it revives when we suffer those kind of bad things that isolate us from brethren. It can help us to appreciate and to revive our awareness of the value of what we have right now. And so, yes, there are bad things that happen that isolate us from those things we enjoy, but they can have good results. Here's another specific thing. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's bad when people either suffer an accident or due to the carelessness of someone else, they are injured and suffer maybe the marks on their body and maybe for a lifetime suffer bad things because of that. Or when an unknown illness strikes them and they no longer have the capacity to enjoy life like they once did. And then the ultimate is when they actually lose a loved one. Bad, bad things. This man who wrote this letter in the previous verses talked about a lot of bad things that happened to him. The way he was treated and things he had to endure because he was an apostle of Christ and preaching the gospel of Christ. When this man looked in the mirror, he got dressed in the morning. He could talk about the stripes on his body where he'd been beaten and whipped. He had some kind of thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. He may have had bad eyesight. That's possibly it, or possibly some indication of that. I don't know what it was. Or an impediment in his speech. But because of all that he endured, which he talked about in the previous verses, these bad things having to do with his health, it would even apply to death. It made this particular man have a focus on what we hope for. Heaven wasn't just something you sing about in a song, talk about occasionally. It's something he was looking forward to, he believed in with all his heart. Look at chapter 4, verse 16. He said, "We do not lose heart." Remember we said when bad things happen, we can get discouraged. That's what discouragement is. You lose heart. So we don't lose heart. "Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. You may get old. You can't do what you used to do. Yeah, it takes more ability and more time to do it." But he said, "I'm not getting discouraged. For momentary, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." They're bound by time. They won't be here forever. They're temporal. "But the things which are seen are eternal." Folks, that's hope. And that's not hope like we use the word. It's hope with a sense of expectation. I expect that. He goes on in the next chapter to talk about this new home that he would have, this new body that God would give him. I don't know how strongly Paul would have had that hope had he not suffered what he suffered. My parents lived together for 66 years before my mother died. My dad had been a Christian since he was a teenager. But when my mother died in Christ, the hope to see her again and to be in heaven with her was certainly a focus of his. My wife's mother and dad lived together 56 years before her mother died. The same was true with her father. And these two men were men of faith that had a hope. They didn't get discouraged. They didn't go around saying, "Why does this happen to me? I've served God all these years." They weren't full of despair or bitterness. Bad things can help us to focus on that hope. Mark Hargrove's not here this morning, but I want to use him as an example of that. You know that Mark, for a number of years now, has lovingly and devotedly taken care of his wife. Now she's blind. Wife Esther. Been a tremendous challenge for Mark. Tell you what, listen to Mark pray. When Mark prays, he's talking about heaven, the glory that's to be revealed. Bad things can have good results and make us focus on our hope. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I don't know what it was like a few years ago when people who worked for Enron had all of their savings and future wrapped up in that company and it went out of business. Imagine being 65. Everything's gone. Everything's gone. I've known of brethren, some who have been members here in the past, who tried to invest their money wisely, were taken in scams and lost, I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. You probably wouldn't know it because they didn't get discouraged. They didn't get full of despair. They didn't give up and quit. Look at Matthew 6, verse 19. We talked about this last Sunday morning. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But, there's a not but, more important than all these earthly treasures. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's why when you lose your possessions, your material things, it doesn't give you a heart attack spiritually. Because that's not where your heart is. It's bad to lose things. But I'll tell you what, a loss of material things can help us have a higher appreciation of heavenly values, spiritual treasures. Jesus used the analogy, we talked about this last Sunday, of your eye being clear and being able to see the value of those things. While we're wallowing in luxury and ease, maybe we don't see the value of those heavenly treasures. Maybe a material loss can actually result in a good thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talked about a very trying time in his life. Not certain about the historical event that he has in mind. But he said this in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. But wait. Read the next statement. So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So you were comforted. God sustained you. You can use that. Paul said, we can use what we went through to help others have the strength to face the darkest days and the deepest valleys. Down in verse 9, he said, indeed, we have the sentence of death within ourselves. So that we would not trust in ourselves. So that, look at that, so that result. So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You reckon that was an encouragement to the Corinthians? As they had him write them about what he's been through, even to the point of not knowing if he's going to live through this trial. But he came through it. And so he can help others. We have people like that in our audience. Wally and Linda Ottersback took care of their parents. Linda's mother, Linda's dad, Wally's mother for years. And it was a strain at times, and had to be separated from Wally for some time. As people get old, sometimes people can get a little cranky. I don't know anything about that. But anyway, people can get a little cranky. But Wally and Linda took care of it. Jeff and Lisa took care of Jeff's dad. There were some difficult times. You know what, though? People now that have to care for their loved ones, Wally and Linda, Jeff and Lisa are in a position maybe to give them some wise counsel and some encouragement. Maybe to tell them things and help them with things that otherwise they could not have done because they've been there, they've walked that road. And maybe they can comfort others with the comfort with which they were comforted. I often wonder, and I sometimes share this with people, who knows, but what you're going through right now may prepare you. God may be preparing you to serve somebody else down the road. Bad things can have good results. Now, I've done something in this lesson I don't normally do. I've referred to specific people and specific events. But I want to encourage you to add your own. Make your own list. You think of people, maybe yourself, maybe of others you know, that's went through tragic things in their life. But instead of despair and discouragement and bitterness, they became stronger and better and more appreciative and a more diligent servant of the Lord. And maybe an example to you. The worst thing that could have happened to man, the worst thing that could happen to man, is in the very beginning of your Bible. Man sinned. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12, the apostle said, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. You can't introduce into humanity anything more devastating and ruinous to man's spiritual well-being, moral well-being, than sin. Now, we've been talking when bad things happen. And often think bad things are not the result of our choices. They may be, but a lot of times it's not. But sometimes bad things are the result of our choices. Even then, instead of discouragement and despair and bitterness, we can rise above it because of verse 15 and verse 18 of this chapter. In verse 15, the free gift is not like the transgression. For if the transgression of the one, through the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Verse 18, so then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. The worst thing that could happen to man resulted in the best thing that could ever happen to man. And that's the grace of God in Christ Jesus. There's no greater demonstration or act of love and grace and mercy and kindness than the gospel of the cross. And that's why it's called gospel. Good news. In the face of the dark days and the deep valleys, all the trials of life, remember, there's good news. And it's that good news that will help us survive, that will help us use the bad things to do better things. Not only to survive the dark time, but maybe to serve better to praise our God more
and to encourage our brethren.